Welcome to the Health Flow Podcast. I'm your host, Jean Armand. Join me weekly as I share health information that will educate and inspire you. Please consider supporting this podcast by listening, subscribing, and rating. You can also support future episodes by making small monthly donations. Once again, welcome to the Health Flow Podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode number 34 of the Health Flow Podcast. Last week, I took a break. I just needed to pull some things together. And this week, in lieu of all that's going on with this COVID-19, known as the coronavirus, I thought I should visit it again. Obviously, this is a virus that we really don't have all the details on. Every day, we're learning more and more about this virus. But there's some myths out there that I want to clear up. And then there's just some basic health information management that I want to get out there that you can do at home. You know, I talked to one of my ER doctors today, a good friend of mine, and just to hear how overwhelmed they all are with all the different people that are coming in, with different complaints. It just laid it on my heart that I needed to put some more information out there to all of you so that you can have a little further guideline and be more mindful about people who are, just running to the hospitals and urgent cares and just overwhelming the system. And yes, we want people who need to go, and we're there for those who need to be there. And that's what we do. We want to take excellent care of everyone. However, you know, some of us need guidance as to when to go and not to go. And then another thing that came that just in my conversation with her today, I realized that, you know, we probably have a whole, not probably, we have a whole lot more cases of the coronavirus. And it's probably been going on since, I want to say, the holiday season. Now that I look back, some of the illnesses that brought patients into the emergency room, some of the people with pneumonia this season who tested negative for their test was negative for influenza A or B. It just makes me wonder now if because we don't have a test, and we still don't have a test right here, in most of the emergency rooms you go to, there is no test. The labs aren't yet set up. I know we hear that it's coming, but it has not arrived. Okay, so yes, that's the truth, that's the fact. We can just treat people according to their symptoms. So here it is. Let's talk about the myths first. Things that are false. So there's a myth going on that if you just drink lots of water, it will flush it out of your system. And also drinking garlic water, these are myths. There's no proven fact for it. Drinking water will make you feel better anyhow because it rehydrates your body. And if you're sick and you have a fever, it can be hydrated, will make you feel a little stronger. I mean, when you're losing electrolytes and if you have fever and you're sweating and things like that, and you're losing sodium and possibly potassium, things like that, you're not going to feel better. So it is important to drink water. Drinking garlic may ease stomach, stomach like nausea or any other stomach discomforts, but it does not take the virus out your body. There's also this belief that the virus is on because it's coming here from all the like cardboard boxes that are coming from China and other things that they're delivering it with, delivering from China, other materials, and that the virus is there. The most active form, yes, virus may be on these boxes, but they're not the active form by now. They did not survive and can actively, be spread to your nares and get into your lungs and get ingested. It just doesn't work like that. The reason we talk about keep covering up your cough and your sneeze with your elbow is because though the particles that are spread with coughing and you inhale it, that's what's going to give you the virus. Or if someone just coughed and the virus is alive and it gets on your hands, you touch something and then you touch your face and it gets into your nares, that's a way for it to then get into your lungs, be ingested. The next thing, I know the first time I did the episode about the coronavirus, I touched on the mask. Let's talk about the mask again, because I see people walking everywhere with masks. Okay, two type of masks out there, at least two type of masks worth mentioning, because I'm seeing all kind of fashion of masks going on. We have surgical masks and we have the N95 respiratory mask. So the N95 is a fitted mask. We actually get fitted and you have to know how to properly place it to cover your nose and your mouth. But that type of mask is the one that's made so that these small respiratory particles cannot get into your nose and your mouth. That is the one that healthcare providers wear to prevent, say if we were taking care of a patient with TB or with coronavirus, that is the appropriate mask to wear. And we need that because we're taking care of them. The surgical mask really is more effective for the person who they wear that. The surgical mask is just the one that ties in the back. And that's neat. That's, part of being sterile when you're operating and having surgery and you're talking so that, or if you're coughing, the workers, the surgeons, the doctors, the nurses in the operating room setting so that they won't, the environment needs to be sterile so that they won't project anything on the patient, on the sterile environment inside your body. And also if a patient has active respiratory problems that we're concerned for them, say someone has coronavirus and we know they do, and you've got to transport them from the emergency room to another area of the hospital, it would be helpful to put a mask on them so that they're not projecting these respiratory particles that I was talking about to anyone else. But a healthy person who is just walking around in the street doing, or in the stores, not just the street, in the stores or just in the environment, that mask is really not doing much for you. It really isn't, just so you're aware of that. All right. Let's talk about just prevention. Once again, I know everyone has heard this. Hand washing, and hand washing. Limit your contact with large crowds. Today, our president said 10. I mean, just limit your distance, you know, with people to 6 feet. Hand washing again. Limit touching your face with your hands, because you might have touched, you know, a dirty environment and then you could put it in your face. Remind our, especially for the elderly people and for patients who, people who are immunocompromised, that means your very young children, infants and babies who have not, newborns who don't have full immunity. Okay, their immune system is not fully functioning. Then you're talking about the elderly people who have chronic medical conditions such as diabetes, such as heart disease, such as kidney failure, any type of cancer, anyone with HIV, all the, even patients who have chronic, you know, their COPD, they have breathing issues, lung problems, asthmatics. Those are the people that we want to make sure they don't get infected, because the results for them is not great. Their immune system is not able to fight like it should. And if they have lung issues, it's really, it gives them a hard time. Not to say that other people aren't having, you know, issues with coronavirus, young people or middle age, but when you have a strong immune system and your lungs are in great condition, this, it becomes just like any other flu. Okay. Our smokers, people that smoke, and I don't just mean cigarette smoking, but chronic marijuana use, vaping, anything that could possibly weaken the status of your lungs, you're at risk when you get the coronavirus. You're at risk for your lungs to fail you. You know, so that you're the one that get the asthma more. I mean, that gets pneumonia more. You're the one that we need the respirator to help you breathe for, because your lung is not fully working to diffuse oxygen, to get rid of carbon monoxide like it should, carbon dioxide, I'm sorry, like it should, CO2 like it should, you know, it's not as elastic, it doesn't fully expand, you know, you could have stuff, air trapping, it's just that you have a weakened state, your lung is in a weakened state, it's going to be harder for you to breathe, you may have more stiff lungs that just can't fully expand and get rid of what and work like it should. I'm just trying to make this really plain. So stop smoking. Stop smoking and help yourself. Now, how can you care for yourself? We all during this time should not be run down. First of all, we shouldn't be run down, because now we're told to limit our contact outside, you know, shopping and store, movies and bars and restaurants, You know, so really just you should be getting plenty of rest so that your immune system can fight anything. You should be stocking, I would say vitamin C should be on your list of things to be getting every day. You should be getting exercise. You know, you should be eating healthy so that your immune system and your body can face anything that comes. Now, I mean, basic things. How do you care for someone if we're telling you, and this is what I'm saying, and this may be really, I understand that this is hard for some people to comprehend, but if you're at home and you think that you may have the coronavirus or any virus, stay at home. Because the moment you leave your home and you go out and you come in contact, you're bringing it into the hospital. Unless you're having trouble breathing or you're just so sick that it's unsafe to be at home. And I would even try to call a medical person before you go. And lots of time, if you do call the hotline, we do say we can answer questions that would hopefully help you to make a decision as whether to stay or go. But it's hard to give clear cut advice if a medical provider cannot see you and assess you. So basic things. How many, as many people who have gone out and bought up all this toilet paper and Clorox wipes, how many of you have a working thermometer at home? Can we just start there? A working thermometer that you know how to use and it is working properly. That is a tremendous, that's important. Do you have a thermometer at home? That's number one, because you should. You should be able to take your own temperature. And nowadays they have thermometers, inexpensive, that you could just press the button, not even touch your forehead, or the ones that you do touch, or the ones that you're putting in the ears. You can get those at your local pharmacy, from Amazon, wherever. Every household should have a functioning thermometer. Do you have cold medicines in your medicine cabinet right now? Things that are not expired. Do you have, if you have children in your home, do you have liquid Tylenol? Do you have Tylenol tablets? Do you have ibuprofen, liquid ibuprofen? And do you have tablets of ibuprofen? Remember, Advil, Aleve, ibuprofen, all the same thing. When you get it in the over the counter, those tablets are 200 milligrams each. It is safe for you to take if you're an adult over 100 pounds, or even children. When a child is over at the age where they're over 100 pounds, they usually can take the adult dose of Tylenol or Advil. So know your dosages, and it is perfectly safe for you to take 600 milligrams, which would be 3 tablets of Advil. If you're an adult and you're just taking a 200 milligram tablet, it's probably not going to do anything. You could actually even take 4, which would be the max of 800. And you don't have to, that can help with the fever and the body aches that you may experience. We generally say don't take a lot of Advil. If you know things that you have problems with your kidneys, and it's really short term, you know, you shouldn't be more than 3 days in a row taking Advil. And Advil is only, you know, every 8 hours as needed. So it's not around the clock. So if you're taking, you know, so that should take care of some of the I know it's hard for the general public to sometimes understand because there's warnings with don't take too much of this, don't take too much of that, but you have to know how to do it. So I'm just in this situation, I'm just saying this is if you're having a fever, having these body aches, you don't have prescription strength, Motrin, which is also Advil. It is quite fine for an adult to take anywhere from 3 to 4 of them every 8 hours as needed for fever or body aches. And I would not do that no more than 3 days. So do you have Pedialyte and Gatorade? So if a person is, vomiting or having diarrhea, do you even have, you don't have IV fluids, but do you have Pedialyte, Gatorade that you can sip on to rehydrate yourself? Do you have soups, crackers, Jell-O? Do you have ice packs? Do you even have just the bag that you can fill with ice? And you could use that to place on a person's forehead, on the armpits and groin if they have high fever that you want to bring down. And I would even, in my home right now, not only do I have a thermometer, but I have a pulse ox. They have small portable pulse oximeters. That's what it is. It's a pulse oximeter. It checks your pulse and it checks your oxygenation. When we're talking about coronavirus and it affecting a person's lung and you're concerned that their lung is really not functioning up to par, some ways that you would know is by when you go into the hospital, they automatically measure your pulse ox, the pulse oxygenation. Normal is 100% is great, but if you're 95% to 100%, you're doing beautifully. Now, if you're constantly less than 94, then that's a time that you're 94, 93, even 90. That would be someone who should go to the hospital immediately. You can find these pulse oximeters at your local pharmacy or on Amazon, anywhere from $15 to $20 max. That's only time that you would find that you really can't use it. It doesn't work well if a person has the acrylic nails, any thick covering over your nail, it may not pick up your oxygenation, but you could sometimes do it on the earlobe, or if your toe doesn't have nail polish on it, you can measure it. I mean, these are basic things. If we want to make sure that you are safe at home, but also not overload the hospitals with people who shouldn't really be there. If you need to be there, by all means, please, we want you to go. But I'm just saying these are things to make it so that you can manage yourself, manage your symptoms at home. What's a fever? For all intents and purposes, now we're saying 100.4. Please know what your temperature is. Please record, write it down. We have telephones. We can make notes. You can record it with the time. You know, help us to help you. There's so much that you can do by being an informed consumer. Also, know that when a person has a fever, their heart rate is up. So your heart rate is up because in a fever, the metabolic rate of your body increases. So that's normal for a person who has a fever. If you have a fever, your heart rate can be up too because now you're trying to fight it. Know your medical history. Know who should go in. to the hospital immediately and who shouldn't. For your very young people and your elderly patients and patients with chronic medical conditions, the ones that are diabetics, kidney failure, any type of autoimmune diseases like lupus, cancers, HIV, all these people are at high risk. Heart disease, heart failure, just pulmonary hypertension, any chronic diseases with your lungs, your asthmatics, your COPD patient, the patients that suffer with emphysema. If you develop symptoms of shortness of breath, fever, cough, you are the ones that should go immediately to the hospital. And then for the other people who are basically healthy, young adults and healthy middle-aged person with no chronic condition, you can manage your symptoms at home. It's helpful if you have your own thermometer. It's even great if you have a pulse oximeter and you could measure your oxygenation, your heart rate. You can treat your fever at home. You know that if your pulse oxygenation is going down or if you're having difficulty breathing, wheezing, making extra sounds, those are the ones that should go to the hospital. Listen, this is new and uncharted territory for all of us. Let's all remain confident and calm. We're going to get through this. This too shall pass. Let's watch out for each other, care for each other, help each other, share supplies. Let's be the best that we can be right now. Let's not just be selfish. I have total confidence in who we are, the people that we are, and that we will get through this strong, and this will be a learning experience. If you have to be home, use this time to do the things that you wanted to do right there in your home. You know, did you need to spring clean, you know, change all the clothing and shoes and pocketbooks and unnecessary things that you declutter your home and bring these things to the homeless shelters or to your local church, to people in need. Hospitals also need things for their homeless people. The social work department usually need things. Find an act of kindness that you can do. We can get through this stronger and better than we ever were. And I just thank you all, and I hope you found this information helpful. Be blessed and stay well. Thank you for listening to the Health Flow Podcast. Your support is much appreciated. It is my goal to share health information that you find helpful. Email topics of interest to thehealthflow@gmail.com. Follow me on Instagram at TheHealthFlow, also on Facebook at TheHealthFlow. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and share. Until next time, keep your health flowing.